Welcome to Twos Talk with Tosh, Dino, and Donnie.
Fellas, welcome back.
Donnie.
Hey,
two in a row, man.
We got
two
a streak a going. We got a streak. Yeah, I like
two in a row is a streak.
I like what we're doing here. Yeah, scheduled events. Yeah. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
And knock on wood, so far we're 15 seconds in. No technical difficulties to speak of, so we're good.
Yeah, that's a bonus.
But we did a 5-second trial run, Donnie. That helps.
That's all you need. Yeah. 5 seconds is a lot longer on the mic than you think.
Yeah.
Boys, how was the weekend?
Is a long time.
Yeah.
Sorry, what?
How was the weekend?
Weekend was good.
Practice, second last practice, halfway point of the winter season. I personally will not talk for other coaches, but I personally believe that was our best practice weekend as far as performance on the turf. I look at, and this is no slight to any other teams that have been through the program leading up to the Vegas tournament, but man,
we're ready.
Good teams. Yeah, we were throwing the ball around with conviction. We were taking lead runners, and runners were trying to take an extra 60 feet every time. We were sliding hard into bags. Like, it was the intensity, the give a crap factor, the skill level, all of it was just off the charts. It was awesome.
We have actually had a way more focus on defense this season. And I will say, we had the 12s. We're doing a tandem cut drill, which is fairly complicated, and they did very well. I was shocked to see how quickly they picked up on that drill. And then watching the oldest group do it, it was like poetry, the way the ball was moving around. They moved in tandem. It was fantastic. So, yeah, I think you're right. Every year to this point, this is my 7th year in the program, and we've always hit. We've always pitched really well down south. And our defense has always been the thing that when we get exposed, it's because they put the ball in play and put pressure on our defense and catchers. Yep. And it looks to me like we are narrowing that gap. And that's kudos to the planning, to you guys making these elaborate pie charts worth of work.
I wish we videoed everything.
Yeah.
Because then you could look back at a practice from 6-7 years ago and see the difference of
we probably could. We probably could.
There's some amazing differences in some of these athletes are 06s.
Like we thought the sits and hits portion. Donnie, you were on the hits portion.
Yeah.
And Dino and I were over on the situational stuff. What I found to be 2 or 3 steps ahead of where we were September, October was the decision making. We still sometimes throw and not protect the ball when we should. Sometimes, but there was never any question that they were aggressive, right? So you can pull the reins in on that, but as far as decision making and freezing, that's tougher to correct, right? And I just think that the mistakes we made were aggressive mistakes, and that's exactly what we want to see. So it was fantastic. I thought it was. I think we're in good shape going into Vegas for sure.
Yeah, I can't wait. That's always a great trip. And the weather looks like it's starting to come around a bit. Last week it looked like it was going to be cold and rainy, and now it's getting up to 19, 20. So I'll take that all day. Okay, we get too long into our practice, we get an opportunity to recycle some incredible guests. And this guy has been arguably our best guest a couple times in a row. But the reason it's important now is he's going to be our keynote speaker at our very first annual Twos Banquet in March.
Yep.
So to have him back on with his busy schedule and our busy schedules, let's not kid ourselves, boys. We got busy schedules too. So to line this all up, it's meant to be. So let's bring him in again. Number one, I'm a big fan, obviously. He's a fan of the game. He's a friend of the game, of softball, of hockey, of anything Canadian sport. Mr. Peter Loubardias, welcome to the cast.
Guys, always a pleasure. And in all sincerity, I could sit and listen to you guys talk about softball all day and not have to say a word. And I would just like to add one minor thing to your conversation. I am a big believer, and I don't think it's always worked hard enough in that sport in terms of how you defend and how good you are situationally. I think it has a lot to do with my upbringing and watching Bob Stainer go about his business, which in today's day and age might be archaic, But I can tell you that we won a couple of Canadian championships, not necessarily because we had the best athletes, the best hitters, but we did not give games away. Mm-hmm. And even at the international level, which I, you know, Mac, you know this, you guys all know this, because it's my number one love in life is to watch our country play sports internationally at all levels. I still think there's great room for growth in that area. And all you have to do is look at the work that the Japanese do to understand why they are who they are. It's about the work and the work that they do in that area. They have a few other 100%. Things going for them too, like, I don't know, a population base of a billion. And, you know, they have things we don't have. But you can control how hard you work on the defensive side of the game. And I'll leave it at that.
100%. And I mean, this is no disrespect to the way it was in earlier years. But you're very much seeing that with Kaylee Rafter now at the helm, right? The catching position, sees the whole game. And I've said it before, even though she's my boss, she is definitely one of the smartest softball minds I've ever had the pleasure to talk to. And, you know, just running some of the things that they run now at the national team level is very impressive. And all we're trying to do is bring some of that back, you know, and I think that's where, as a sport, if we can get that information and that training to coaches, and more coaches are kind of on that page, you know, I think it's great. And I mean, the other thing too, is we run into a situation in Canada, our season just isn't long enough.
100%.
And when we start talking about situations and base running, I feel for the coaches out there, cause they don't have time. There's just not enough time.
No, there isn't.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, for sure. It's one thing that we focus on by even just changing the timeline of our practices and more time spent on specific positional practices. And yeah, I think it's by breaking down those cuts, the outies are doing their thing first, then the innies do their thing, pitchers and catchers doing their thing. I think it's starting to prove dividends.
How did we get through it 40 years ago?
Yeah, I know.
Can you imagine if we had a little bit of the science back in the day?
Well, here's the thing too, Dino, and you guys can chime in on this. If we look back 40 years ago when we're learning to play the game, we played the game. Even when we weren't playing the game, we were playing the game. It was tennis court baseball. It was scrub. It was 500. It was all these things. We didn't have everything taking up our time like kids do now. And I think our play, just playing, helped us, like,
equal to playing field.
We're asking kids to do exactly what we were doing, but we call it training now.
Yeah.
It's 100% true. It really is. And again, we could have a very long podcast about this one, but you know, every era is different. So you guys know you deal in it. I don't, but I kind of do, being around athletes my whole life. A lot of kids now will stay with the sport because they're good at it. And in a lot of cases, and I'm going to talk about this in part at your banquet, so a little preview without getting into it. It needs to be the kid's journey, not to be the parent's journey. And yes, did we have those types of things? You know, and the other thing about guys like yourselves, where are you from? You're from small towns.
Yeah.
And you know what people from small towns generally know how to do? They know how to work.
Yeah.
And so when you like it and you work at it and you're passionate at it, yes, did we have the technical expertise back then? It's like, listen, Bob Stainer could no sooner teach the modern day athlete how to hit. But I can tell you this. Did he have 15 women every year that they probably wanted to strangle him half the time? But we were never outworked. And when it came to the brightest lights, we didn't hurt ourselves.
Right.
And because in asking for accountability from people, which we're now scared to do, because it becomes more about people liking us or not liking us. The message we have to point out to athletes is I have to care enough about your development to be passionate enough to actually take notice that maybe I can help because I see things that could be better. That's how we see it.
Mic drop.
Amen, brother.
Good talk, guys.
Yeah,
talk
I guess that's later. It. Boys, we'll wrap it up at 10 minutes. That's right. A great cast. I think the thing to point out, Peter, good point, is, you know, back when we all grew up playing, we played with everything we had at the time. There just is more now that they can look at. And I can't imagine, like you said, what it would look like back in the day if Dean Holand had a Rapsodo machine to look at his spin rates every time he threw a ball or hit tracks or all these other things we're looking at with mechanics on a swing. We just basically grabbed a bat and swung it as hard as we could, and everything is so different. You talk about generational.
Roll those wrists.
Roll the wrists over, boys. Wrists. That's right. Yeah.
So, yeah, the messaging has changed. The information that we all have access to has changed. The video, there's so many different things to look at. But
it can be too much.
Well, for sure it can.
Mm-hmm. That to me, you know, it's again, and I'm not, your sport, the sport I love, baseball, you know, those are sports that are very analytics oriented and analytics driven. But what we can't miss is the people piece and people wanting to be committed to getting better. Because I think that's what greatness is derived from, is the will and the work and the passion. And so I do. I think kids in a lot of ways today are, and I can say this about hockey probably more than softball, but are they more skilled, more savvy, more technically sound, shoot it harder, skate better? Yeah. Do I really believe they like it as much? No, I don't.
Right.
Do I think they're better at it than they've ever been? You're damn right I do. But there's a difference. So overloading people, sometimes simple and clear and concise, of which I am none.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get the most out of people.
For sure. Do you guys, okay, so we talk about this all the time, and I suppose in hitting, and Dino, you probably see it in pitching too, Donnie, but in hitting, there's always the gimmicks. There's always these things. Like I was talking about the rope bat now that's out there, and does it have some usefulness? Yeah, probably.
You can hang yourself after you swing.
Yeah, so I mean, but I mean, here's the thing. Like, do you guys remember, okay, one of the best movies ever, Bull Durham, right? So yeah. They're talking about when they come out to the pitcher's mound and Lelouch is struggling, and the conversation that goes on had nothing to do with baseball at the time, but it was all about putting in the right frame of mind and stuff. And I think sometimes as coaches, we go out to visit the mound and we talk about these things, and we sometimes get too technical. Another Costner movie, Tin Cup. When Rene Russo shows up for her first lesson and she's wearing all this apparatus, right? All the gimmicky stuff. Does it have a purpose? Maybe, right? But the reality is when we talk about hitting, there's two or three core drills that we do in our program, and that improves your hitting. Right? Is there new stuff? Yes, there's always new stuff. And can we add stuff? Yes. If it works for us, yes, we will add stuff. But I mean, the bottom line is, if you're doing the basics, it doesn't matter if you're a hitter 30 years ago or 30 years from now, hitting's still kind of the same thing.
Can I ask a question to guys who were a million times better at it than I was? Is there anything more important than when you step into that batter's box that you believe you're going to get a hit?
No. And I think we talk about that all the time. I even said it this weekend, like you can do all the technical stuff and be as technically sound as possible with your swing, but we still have really good hitters swing and miss and look down at us, the third base coach's box, wondering what they did wrong. Well, you didn't do anything wrong. You just missed. And that's what her job out in the 8-foot circle is supposed to try and make you do, right? But I think we get to a point, the difference between the good athletes and the great athletes is 6 inches. And it's a space between your ears.
100%. Right?
That's the difference.
100%. 100%.
Not to tip any of my hand, but when I go out to the mound in the middle of a defensive inning, the first thing I ask all the girls is, why am I out here? And they all say, to calm us down. I'm like, let's take a break and relax a minute. We're going 100 miles an hour. Let's all just slow down, think about what we're doing. But another thing I've done, Tosh, that I don't know if I've told you this yet, so this might not be great, but in the cage, if I'm working with a hitter and they're struggling with a mechanic, I'll ask them, hey, what'd you have for lunch today? And they kind of look at me weird. And what's your favorite subject in school? And I start asking them questions to get their mind away from what we're trying to train their body to do. Because if we're thinking about every single body part and mechanic and movement, we're going slower. We're not thinking about hitting the ball. We're thinking about one body part. So the idea, Yogi Berra had a quote that was, you can't think and hit at the same time. So if you're in the batter's box thinking about all your movements, hitting is a low percentage activity. So if the pitcher if you hit the ball, you can do everything right. There's eight people behind the pitcher trying to catch the ball. So even if you do everything right, the chances of you getting a hit aren't great. So our job is to focus on hitting a strike as hard as we can. Once we do that, it's pretty much out of our control where the ball goes, right? But we have too many results-oriented focus where they think, well, I have to get a hit. Well, you can do everything right in that bat. Smash a ball, they make a play, and you're out. But you did everything right. There's nothing you can change there. So the focus has to go back to process-oriented goals, not results-oriented goals, for sure.
I agree with that 100%. I think one of the tools that we have nowadays that we didn't have back then was the video, right? It's on everybody's phone. And I don't like using video to really technically show them exactly what they have to do. I use video to show them what they're actually doing, because some of our young athletes don't know that they're actually doing those movements, right? Like they can't, maybe they don't have a great, at that age, it's not even, they're not doing things right. It's just, they don't have the ability to be able to adjust a wrist or snap a certain way, or they think they're doing something and they're doing something totally different. That's where I see video really, really helping young athletes. It's like, this is what you're doing, you know, or this is what we want you to do, you know, this is what you're doing. And then they go, wow, I can't believe that. You know, so usually some of the reactions I get is, I look like that. And so I think, you know, like I say, nowadays, I think video can be really, really helpful in just showing them exactly what movement they're doing.
Right. It's like, Dean, I couldn't agree with you more. It's even in my new world. Go to the rink, you're watching a million games, and you're trying to generally focus on five or six players in a night, maybe less, depending on the game and what your job is. And I love having the ability the next day, when you have time, to go back and take a look at individual clips, because there's been lots of nights where I think one thing, and then I go watch an athlete on video, and I'm like, was I actually at that freaking game? Which I shouldn't be admitting right at this particular time in year one of this new venture, but I'm good with that. But it is. It's a great learning tool that everybody needs it. I don't care if you're a broadcaster. I don't care if you're a coach. We all need the ability to examine our own work. And usually have somebody who we care about and trust and know that they have our best interests at heart to help you get better. In my longtime business of 40 years, what was missing the most was coaching. We all need it. We need it in sports. We need it in life. We need it with our relationships. We need it day to day. We frickin' need it.
Can't say it. Yeah, you're exactly right.
To that point, we're talking about video, Dino. A lot of times we work, like yesterday working with some hitters, and I would say something, hey, do you know what your back elbow's doing through contact? And they're like, nope. I'm like, okay, well, like, here's what I'm seeing. Take a video of it, and they see it, and they go, huh, is that right? And most times they don't know, like you said. But what we're looking for them to get it, because we ask the kids to do a lot of work on their own. Yeah, you come to practice, we watch what your progress looks like. But the stuff we want you to do at home, if you're not feeling where it's breaking down, you won't make the correction. But if they get to the point of self-awareness where they think, ah, yeah, there my hand went, or I rolled over early, then they make the change. But if I'm standing beside them or any of us, and I'm saying, nope, yeah, you rolled over. They'll do it while we stand there because we're watching them. But if they can feel that movement themselves, then they'll start making that change, and then their swing changes on their own. It's their swing, not me telling them, here's what I saw. That makes sense.
Yeah, it does, because I think that's the approach I've taken now too is, we want them to feel it when it's right, but it's more important they feel when it's wrong, because then they know they can make an adjustment depending on where the pitch was, whatever. And just back to your point, Donnie, about, you know, hitting the ball. I think that comes from us as coaches, parents. We need to redefine success, especially around hitting, right? If you smash a ball, hit it right on the screws, and the shortstop makes a great play against you, like you said, Donnie, you did everything that you could possibly do to put a good swing on it or to be successful. But they see that as an out. So that's, you go for an 0-for-3 day with three rackets at the shortstop. We need to redefine that and say, no, that's a really good day. And 3 feet either way, and you probably have three doubles, right? But kids don't see that, because the success for them defined early on in their career when the defense isn't very good and the swings aren't very good, and we hit a 48 hop rocket back to the pitcher, and they pick it up and they airmail it over first base, and they get to first base, and mom and dad are writing in their scorebook going, oh, we got a hit. No, that's not a hit. That's an error, right? So it's how we define success, I think, for a lot of our kids, that and get them thinking that way, that is going to make the difference in a lot of their progress.
Yeah, I'm going to give Shane Hannon a quick, and Chris Branco probably too. So now that we have Game Changer and we have parents who are helping monitor the games and keep stats for us, mostly we're looking at how many at-bats are kids getting, how many innings are kids pitching. But I don't think there's a tougher or more fair scorer than Shane Hannon, and even on his own kid. Brindley better.
On his own kid especially.
Yeah. Brindley better smash one to the fence, or it's an out or an error or a fielder's choice. Yeah. But, I mean, that's really important too. If you look at numbers and it's a parent who's just sort of, oh, yeah, they got him first, that's a hit. It really skews what our numbers look like for sure. So, yeah, I think success is more of an eye test than it is a stat. I mean, can you hear the crack of the bat? Did you barrel it? There's a sound when you hit a barrel, even on these new bats, that you can hear. Yeah. It's a different, deeper sound. That's what we're looking for. Where the ball goes after that just depends on where it was pitched, where your hands came through. But I've seen, as an older player, I've had a few duck snorts that rolled over second base, and I'm pretty jacked standing on first. That's a bad at bat. Just my result was okay. So
what's wrong with that?
Well, nothing's wrong with it.
Some guys made a whole career out of that. Right? But, yeah, you're right on those two. Those two guys are game changer guys. Yeah. Well, Brindley got a hit. She didn't hit it hard enough, so I'm not counting it.
Right.
We haven't told Shane this, but we just add 200 points to her batting average.
You have to.
That's right.
He's tough,
that's
but
right.
Fair.
She deserves it. Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. For sure. Shout out to those two guys.
Yeah, it's a lot more work than people think, for sure. Like, I know it's tough to manage that, and you're trying to watch your kid and the team and enjoy it, but there's a lot of things that have to happen on there. And so I think Shane and Branks are phenomenal at it.
Yeah, that's what I don't get. I mean, unless you enjoy it, like if you're Peter Labardius and you love to watch the game and stats and keep scoring all that stuff, I assume that's a Peter Labardius thing. For me, I would be so, like, Mel Basile and I talk about this all the time. When we do national team camps and we play our scrimmages and we're trying to keep track of strikes and balls and outs and hits and whatever else, we get caught watching the game and it's like, what happened there? What did that kid do? Was that a pass ball? Yeah, I'm the worst scorekeeper on the planet. I'm awful.
You're good at other stuff, Tosh. Hey, give yourself some credit.
Eight hoppers up the middle.
Yeah.
That's right.
Just worm burners up the middle. Hey, attaboy. Well, I got you in the Hall of Fame, so you must be doing something right a bunch of times in a row.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Pete, let's talk about a little bit, because we haven't even really announced it to anybody, so this is kind of the official announcement. We just went through the facility and got our ticket numbers set and prices set. And when we talked about it, we thought, what do we want this thing to be? Well, we want it to be, obviously, a night for the grads. We've done it before. We've handed out we've got little pewter medallions that are alumni medallions that we hand out that those players have earned over their years in the program. And we've done it on the turf and we've done it in the classroom. And then we thought, you know what? We need a bigger arena for this. We need something to showcase it. So, you know, we're going to have some, the alumni awards, obviously. We'll have our, the bursaries that are be handing out. There's four of those to be handed out. Dino, we talked about our Win a Hoodie recipients. Mm-hmm. We probably should mention those. But the one thing we talked about is we need something to wrap it all up, and that would be a guest speaker. And buddy, when we were talking about it, you were the only name that came to mind to be the inaugural guest speaker. So we're really happy that you're able to make it work in your busy schedule. And I think the exact words I said to you was, we need 30 or 40 minutes of stories out of you, bud. So, I mean, I think
he's going to have to cut it way down.
No, you guys, listen, I will tell you this. Okay. This is a great, like, I'm looking forward to this for a lot of different reasons. First of all, it's because it's you guys, first and foremost. Because I'm a big believer in, if we can ever assist or help people that we like, care about, and respect, that's number one. But I have to tell you this, and maybe I shouldn't, but I can sit here, as you guys well know, I can talk on these podcasts for 7 straight days. But I actually have a lot of trepidation about public speaking. It has given me some real anxiety in the past, but I've given it a lot of thought. And you guys are kind of going to be the inaugural Peter Loubardius. Instead of getting up there and hoping it goes well, is really going to give it some work and a routine, because I don't always feel that what I can do here, which I think is okay, translates in that setting. Because you get me in a group of people and, you know, Dino's up every once in a while and Donnie's in and Matt's somewhere in the middle and, you know, I'm going off on whatever, whether I should be or whether I shouldn't. That part of my life is something I want to truly get better at. And so to be in my hometown, to be a part of your guys' program, it's special for me. It'll be emotional for me. It really will. Because that area, that game, when I think about two names, and I'm not going to say all of it now or there's no point people to come, but the two biggest influencers as men in my life, Bob Stainer and Spiro Lekas.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then the Harmony Center women's team as a whole, they have been the building blocks for everything I've accomplished and done in my whole life.
Yeah. That's awesome. I mean, we're honored and tickled and thrilled and all those things that you're coming. And now I'm even happier to hear that you're not just going to mail it in. I'm happy that you're going to put some
work. I don't mail anything in. I just, like, Dino, I don't know if this ever happened to you, okay? But I've known a lot of guys over the years, whether it's Jeff Rogers, Kevin Sawyer, you know, Wade Belak, who we miss greatly. When I have to speak at an event sometimes, not all, I feel like a guy in where he can't sleep at night. I wouldn't say that there's my sheets are completely soaked, but it can be a very restless, you know, because at the end of the day, I'm intense.
Yeah.
But I don't really think I'm on the spur funny. So I think I've always put a lot of pressure on myself to be funny. I'm not going to your banquet to be freaking funny.
You don't have to worry about that. You don't have tons of people. No, but we got a whole bunch of people there that are just going to laugh anyway. We've got them there already.
Okay, perfect.
They're great laughers.
We got plans.
But again, I don't even know why we're here. But anyway, let's just leave it at this. I can't wait. I'm beyond honored. And it's going to be a special night. And more importantly, if there's one kid who leaves that building who is more excited about playing a game that has meant so much to me in my life, then that's a win.
Yeah, 100%.
How many 100%. Tickets are we selling for this, guys? Sorry.
300.
I would bet the over-under on people leaving more excited about the game of softball after you're done will be closer to the 275 mark, and the other 25 were probably not paying attention. There's nothing more inspiring than that. So people have kind of asked me, hey, like, what's he going to talk about? I'm like, I have no idea. But whatever he does say, I'm hanging on every single word. Yeah. It's hearing you talk about, well, I'm not really good at this or that. I don't even know what to say to that. I mean, good on you for being humble, but it's all right to admit you're pretty awesome, Peter. Like, I feel like you should be okay with being awesome.
Well, I mean, I do some good things for sure.
That's better. See, I'll take that. Good for you.
Okay.
Take that. Yeah. Speaking of awesome,
it's
and public
be,
speaking.
It's going to be exciting.
Well, sorry to talk over you, Tosh.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, speaking of, so you came out, right, you were now in Surrey with us, with the men's nationals, did the opening speech, you walked out Carson Soucy, you did fantastic. You engaged all the fans. I thought it was a really well-run event. How was your time in Surrey? What did you find about that?
It was awesome. It was awesome. And here's why it was awesome. Like, I've been involved around the women's game probably the last number of years than the men's game. So just to get back, you know, saw some of the ISC teams play in the summertime at a conference, one in particular in Simcoe. It was just, now I feel like I have a way greater understanding game. Like here it is for me. So if you play for our country, I'm gonna know, bottom line, because it matters and matters a lot, and I'm gonna have to come and see you, because that's how I operate. If you're gonna wear the red and white, I need to see you, what you're all about, and how you play in every freaking sport. But this Canadians, guys, it was a neat way for me to see the pool, if that makes any sense to you, to get a look at, like, Denny Benson or, you know, some other guys, some of those young kids from Ontario and Nova Scotia that I'm really hoping are kind of the next wave on the men's side. Because, listen, internationally, Australia has one thing that nobody else has in the world. His name is Jack Besgrove. And it has not bothered me. And we've had great pitchers. We have one on our frickin' screen right now. I got to use quick. I'm too fired up today. I got to calm down. But we used to, like, that used to be one of our great strengths in this country. And if you can't get elite hitters out, which is harder to do now than ever because of bad technology and everything, and I think the game, in a lot of ways, is better than it's ever been.
It's all rigged for the hitters.
Yes, it is. It is. 100% it is. But it was, Donnie, honestly, you guys had that unbelievable battle. I didn't get to call that one. It was on a different diamond against Schofield. What a show those two guys put on. It was great to be back. And the other thing that I really loved about it, that was dead but made it really great, is it was so nice to get a chance to meet some of the guys that I admired from afar and then actually got a chance to say, hey, I've really admired you, you know,
yeah,
this person, and, you know, had a sit down in the booth with Steve Mullally and had a chance to talk about his incredible day in Saskatoon, which the only frickin' event I miss in my hometown ever happens to be that one. Way to go, Lou, you donkey. But to get a chance to talk in particular to the national team guys who I've thought so highly of for so long, have a real good relationship with John Stewart, that guy's was probably the best part. I felt like the men's game at a high level got reintroduced the pool. Because there's nothing better that I like in sports. It's how I look at everything in sports. When I go watch a player play, here's the first thing that comes to my mind. Are you going to play for our country? That's it for me. That's the number one focus, whether it's softball, basketball, volleyball, obviously hockey. That's where my mind goes. So it was neat. It was a great experience. I loved it.
We touched on it last week. The final, what did we say, went 15 innings?
Yeah.
All right. 1-0. What do you think about that? Like, I mean, we had kind of the talk about, you know, the traditional, you know, you let the pitchers go and might be the end of their career, or do you put somebody on second base? What do you think about, you know, that discussion? You know, do you go to international rules after 10 innings to kind of save arms? Because, I mean, you're not just saving arms for the week. You know, we talked about it. Some of those older guys, you know, they threw 20-some innings in a game, and they were never the same after that. So, you know, what do you think of the balance between protecting athletes to kind of seeing the game be a little bit more traditional?
You know, I think these are always great conversations because I don't think there is a right answer. And that's why I think they're great conversations. So that was an odd day because we were obviously supposed to call the final. And so there's still part of me like, oh, that's really great. The rain came and it spoiled it. And our production crew had to be in Colombia the next day. And a special shout out to Luciano and his wife, and what Softball Premier Television has done for this sport is astounding. And I think that there's way more on the way. And I want to be an even bigger part of it in that regard. But Dean, to answer your question, I don't know if I've given it enough thought. And only you guys, especially you, can answer the question. Because as somebody who just loves sports and loves competition, that's the second greatest pitching duel I've ever seen in Canadian senior men's history with my own two eyes. And I've talked about the Rod Ginter and Gene McWillie from 1980 at Gordie Howe Park that went 20 innings before Wayne Wallace, who went 0-for-7, finally won it with a double off the left field wall about 35 feet from me. And this, that game and that matchup between Sebastian and Cleary took me back to that place. So I don't know if I would have wanted it to be different. Now, if we really think that it's not what the populace wants, and more important, if we think that that's actually going to put an athlete in any kind of jeopardy, then maybe we have to think a little bit different. But I also think that I don't know if you can really assess properly one-offs. When was the last time in that event you had something like that? I don't, like, never. Never. So what are your thoughts? Like, now that you've brought it up, I'm fascinated.
Well, Dino, you want to lead with that? Obviously, you being the...
Well, I don't have an answer to that either. I bring it up for, you know, discussion. You know, that's, I mean, you put a good point in it, Peter. Like, it doesn't happen very often. So why do we make rules to change the game for something that happens once in a blue moon? Again, what's more important? Is the health of the athlete more important? But, I mean, we're still talking about Gene McWillie and Ginter now. What's better than that?
Yeah.
You know, they're going to be talking about Sebastian and Cleary for years and years and years and years this game. And that's, I don't know. If I was one of those two guys, I think I'd be pushing for letting me, you know, work through it rather than, you know, losing it on a sack bunt and a pop fly.
What would you have wanted?
If I'm playing, I 100%.
In your prime?
I want to pitch through it. I don't want international rules. Yeah.
Well, I would argue all the players on your dugout would probably want you to keep the ball too. I mean, it's your game to win or lose, right? I think you lead in that game. You go with your best until the game's over. And those two are certainly the best.
You know what, guys? I love this discussion because I think it applies in a bigger picture. In our world today, we're always trying to simplify in our own way, try to make things more fair. But don't we want great? Don't we want great? I don't want run of the mill. I want great. So I was mad because I couldn't call it, selfishly. I was freezing to death because the weather, unlike in Saskatoon in 1980, which was brilliant. But what I was really sad about was that it could not be consumed by more people in a sport that I love. Because those are the kind of nights where people were talking about it on social media as it went longer and longer. Those are the kind of nights that build your game. And I'm really sad that it just, the rain and everything destroyed the opportunity to stream it in a better way. And that has nothing to do with, I would say the same thing if I wasn't involved. And I really would. Those are the nights that differentiate. Do you need them every night? No. But that's a Canadian championship on the line with three-time champs. The juggernaut, the powerhouse of the men's game, with their number one guy against a Toronto Batman team that has built and built and built and turned into Ty Sebastian's coming out party. Now, if he doesn't derive some confidence from what that weekend did, then he's missing it. And what am I excited about? Now, I'm excited about where does this put him come July 10th in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan? Because we need to continue, you know, Sean's been great and has been great for a long time. And Ty's 30 years old. He's not 20 like Besgrove. But in our country, on the men's side, we need to find the next couple of guys, or we're not going to be able to compete at the highest level. Crushes me, and that I don't want to see. 100%. So that was a really, you know, to see what Randerson did in the summer against the Gremlins, which I was lucky enough to be in attendance for. It's coming. But paving the way to the next group in sports, and Mac, it's your life. You deal with it in the junior cycle, and you guys have all played in it. We have to continue to keep growing and developing people from underneath to make the sport better.
Well, there's a couple of kids from Ontario for sure that, like, obviously came to Nationals, Mannion and Yancey from Bear Creek.
Yeah, Mannion is, I said Randerson, but I meant Mannion.
No, Randerson's no slouch either, and he's only
20. No, but he's not what the other guy did on a couple of occasions. But.
Yeah, so, like, you got to think those two got a pretty good shot to be in the line for the next group of guys. That's what's interesting about the Nationals is you're right, there's a couple segments of age that are starting to age out, and who's going to replace them. And we got a good look at some of these kids in Surrey, and hopefully we'll get to see them and you, Peter, in Saskatoon this year when Nationals are in Saskatoon in your hometown. I think that would be kismet, I think is the word, for if you were to be able to call that and be there and see that.
I'll be crying a lot when I call the games, but I'll be good.
Hey, crying's a very natural emotion, Peter. There's nothing wrong with
it. It is for me.
Yeah, no, for
now,
sure.
Now, anyway.
I've cried a lot more lately too, if I'm being honest. But
yeah, and I probably have four or five ideas as to why, and we might share some of those. Anyway, moving on to better and bigger things.
Well, you know what? You know what? You bring up. I was sitting here listening to you, and I think the one point that also gets missed, you didn't miss it, but that didn't get talked about was the weather. The weather hampered you doing the streaming, and more people should have seen it. But how many people were in Gordie Howe Park that day that Gint and Gino went at her, right? Like those players that played in that 15-inning game deserve 5,000 people to be there to see it.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Right? And that I think would have grown the game even more.
Right.
Because people would be talking like we're talking right now, right? You described how Wayne Wallace hits a shot off the left field fence, right? Well, it wasn't streamed. You saw it.
Yeah.
Right. And those are the memories you're talking about. And I think that, that is a big part of it too. And that's why I think too, with Saskatoon hosting the Canadian Championships again, Saskatoon always supports the men's game. And I think the crowds are going to be good. I think that the atmosphere is going to be fantastic. So I hope that it's a build on. And to be honest with you, you know, I can, speaking for myself, I don't know if these other two guys, but I was excited to go back to BC because BC is sure. traditionally a very, very strong yeah. men's fast pitch province. And it's just kind of obviously fallen off a little bit. But to go back to Softball City and actually play at Softball City is, I thought that was awesome.
It's a pretty amazing spot.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, and, you know, I feel really, really this is important to me, is I think how you present your product when it's really good matters. Mm-hmm. And I think getting really invested the last couple of years in different ways in the streaming world, people are missing out in amateur sports by sometimes not investing in those types of things. And there is a difference. So when you have something good and you get a chance to show people and you have people who can deliver a pretty good product, I think it helps your game grow.
100%.
I really do. And yet I understand that the hardest part about amateur sports, especially in our country, like I just spent part of the weekend at Notre Dame in South Bend. You think they have a lot of tough time getting money for sports? Or anywhere else in the United States? No. But again, when we think about growing and we think about kids, so let's think about kids. What do kids do? They're always right here on their phones. Okay? So don't we want to give them high quality video and content to go, oh my God, you see so-and-so. What she just did, don't tell me it doesn't help and doesn't draw. But if that's a priority, and I get why it isn't, but for instance, and I have no trouble saying that I get in trouble, but a place like Saskatoon is the perfect place. Okay? You're going to draw people. You have an incredible facility. Make sure that your streaming and your quality of those broadcasts are a really good one.
100%.
But that's just my own. Maybe people really don't care, and maybe I'm too close to it, but I think how you sell your product matters.
So, Peter, on that note, what can we do for our boys' game? I mean, we're always asking that question, how do we grow the male side of the game? Do you see anything that we can do? You know, I know streaming and getting it out there as much as we can, but how do we make an impact on our younger boys that need to play this sport in order to one day be elite?
Well, because I think, Dean, a big part of the marketing is just it needs to be available to them. You need to be able to see, for example, that incredible play in center field last year in Simcoe. Potentially have somebody from here to Cootamunga, great Clayton, used to talk about back in the day. Like, we need to make softball seem as mainstream as other sports. It's a great game. I mean, it's not selling us, it's other people. And it's about selling to the kids. And it's also about, and I say this a lot, so we live very much in this one sport world. But on the men's side, not everybody can play hockey at a high level. And it's really hard to do. But you know what? You guys all know this. And I know this. you've had the greatest memories, opportunities based on this game. But if we don't see it, and it becomes, it's always going to be, let's be honest, Canada is not the world's greatest sports country. Sorry, it isn't. I'd like to say different. It's not. But so the more we expose this great game to more people in more different ways when it's really good, that's how we do it. But what, where it gets confusing is everybody wants to do this. They want to find that magic switch. There isn't a magic switch. It's about growing. It's about getting to learn who our young athletes are. Mac deals, you guys deal every day with potential elite level young women. I want to know who they are. I want to be able to find information out about them. I want to know when our country plays and when their camps are. And then as a governing body, and I understand it's hard, but what we really need in this sport, and I know, especially on the men's side, there are people with some do-re-mi. And they have to be willing at some point to understand that, yes, while it's great to build the New York Gremlins and Hill United and those teams, if we really want the next Hill United, then we need to make it more accessible to young people so they can share in on what we already know is great. Kids don't know it's an option. They don't see it. You have to see it. It's no different, and it's hard. But I say this in all my streaming conversations, and I'll tell you what, one of the great guys I've dealt with has been Greg Timm, who is the head of the Canada Cup of Softball. Because this guy is a visionary, and he gets it. And he understands that growing all of these things, not just as a game, but as an event. The game, guys, at the end of the day, isn't good enough. No game is good enough anymore for the youth to just come because it's a great game. We have to touch them. We have to allow people to get to know our athletes better. And when we get a chance to show off the best players in our sport, we need to let people at least have the option to see it. And streaming allows you to do it. But how to build on that is you have to be prepared to sell it to make sure it's done in the most professional way possible. Because that represents your sport.
Jesus, Peter, that's no less than 4 mic drop moments in a 1-hour podcast. I'm not sure. I don't know where we go from here.
Should have saved it.
No, I don't know if you need to save
anything. I was going to say, don't listen to the podcast, folks. If you're coming to the banquet, the precursor will be, do not listen to this podcast.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I think that answers the question as to why you were the obvious and only choice to do the first annual banquet, Peter, is like, even, and I've talked to you numerous times, and every time I leave, and I think you mentioned it earlier, I feel enriched every single time we have any kind of interaction. I think everybody in that room is going to have the exact same opportunity that we all just got and that our listeners are now going to get. Everything you talk about is passionate and thoughtful and insightful, and I think we're really lucky to have you, obviously, and maybe it's not just a first annual, it's an every annual if we can make it work. I don't know. I don't want to throw that out there, put any pressure on Dino and Tosh or you, but man, just incredible.
Listen, at the end of the day for me, here's what it's about. I want people to feel and love some of the things that have meant so much in my life. And softball really means a lot to me. It's given me so much. And at this point, when it comes to calling sports, there's nothing I enjoy more now than calling softball. And I want to be the best at it in our country. And I can't get enough opportunities to call that game at a good level.
I think you missed the word continually. Continually. You are the best.
Well, I don't know if I'm the best. There's one who can call a good game, and I know it because I've lived in it for a long time. But I love it at kind of, not to blow my own horn, but I love it at a bit of a different level than a lot of guys do.
For sure.
Hey, feel free to toot your own horn, Peter. I think you're doing a hell of a job. I think you did a great job at Nationals. I'd love to have you and Blair both at ISCs and in Saskatoon.
Well, we're going to be at, I'll be at ISC. That's a done. And I will be at, like I mentioned, I can't wait to be at Prime Minister's Park swatting mosquitoes, but I'll love every single second of it, July 10th to the 14th. It's going to be an incredible softball summer, from the Canada Cup straight to Prince Albert for the men's qualifier, ISCs, and hopefully I'll cap off my summer by calling a men's national championship in my hometown. And that would be pretty. I got goosebumps right now from head to toe. I really do. That's how I live my life. I want to see all events. A lot of things that I would pay to do. It's pretty good.
I wouldn't say that too loud on the podcast in case someone tells you now you got to pay to do it. I think you deserve every penny you get. So.
Oh, no. You know what the difference is at 58? My rates keep going up.
Oh, as well they should. Okay, well, we got to wrap here. Dino's got to get on the road. Peter's got to do something more important, I'm sure. But I don't know if you remember, Peter, but we do a parting shots at the end of the podcast. If you have one, you can go first. I don't know if you need another mic drop moment in this one, but if you want to go ahead, you can. If you want to go last and defer, it's like a kickoff. You can either take the ball right now or wait to the second half.
I defer.
Fair enough. I'm going to go first because mine's ready and it's super quick.
Cool.
Team practice this weekend, incredible. It was really good. Come out of the park. We were in there for tryouts for Twin Cities, so we were there from 8 in the morning till 7:30 at night. Didn't go outside, go out, and it's been snowing all day. So fantastic. First time all year I've had to drive in snow. Kind of forgot about how terrible it can be at night. I couldn't see. Whole drive home. I guess my parting shot is at nature. I'm not sure if you can make one at nature, but it makes the trip far, far less enjoyable at 10 o'clock at night when your visibility is pretty poor. So I love the travel. I love going. The practices were great. It was a white knuckler for the first time ever on my way home, and I didn't care for it as much as I do in the fall. Just I wanted to point it out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well. Nature.
Huh. Nature. Goulet.
Do you have one, Dino?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't. Like I lit up Air Canada last time.
Well, and that I actually been on probably was part of the reason why we had to use three segments of Donnie's net meeting, because yeah, that was. It was a little long.
It was a bad experience. I really don't have one. I'm coming off a high of a really good practice weekend. Looking forward to 8 more sleeps to the Times Day Blast in Vegas. Looking forward to that. I don't have a shot this time.
Well,
unless Dino takes a shot at me, then I will.
Oh, here we go.
I'm taking a shot at all of us.
Interesting. Okay.
So obviously, you know, we talked a lot about the men's boys side of the game today, and it gets me going to the point, you know, that my parting shot is out to all of us that find reasons why we can't grow the game, because we've all heard those reasons. You know, our season's too short. There's too many other competing sports. The reasons, we could make a list. Very, very easy. The list of how we're going to do it, Peter touched on a few things. It's not as easy. It's not an easy list. But if we want to be, you know, 20 years, 30 years down the road discussing softball games that happened in the, you know, the 20s, we got to figure something out. So we got to stop thinking about why we can't do it. We got to figure out how we're going to do it. So there you go.
Jeez, deep shots with Dino. That was wow. Okay.
That was really.
Don't mock me. I'll never do it again.
No. It's not a mock.
It's
you're 100% right, Dean.
What are you doing? Why don't you come on the podcast?
No, I think you guys more. Are probably my parting
yeah. We're sort of losing Peter here. I'm going to talk over him until he gets back in. Peter.
Three men. To make a difference and to grow young people to be better people and to share and to give back. Because Donnie said this, and I read and research and think about it a lot. We focus so much on the destination. We all have a chance to give back to something that has given us so much. And to you guys from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Because it's a game that matters to me, and I know you're making a difference.
That's another one, Peter.
Wow.
Not that we're counting. That's six. Jeez, Peter. Save some of that sweetness for the banquet. That is incredible.
This if people listen to this podcast, they're going to think, wow, this is going to be amazing. And it will be amazing.
It's going to be incredible. Preview?
Holy moly. I'm pumped. I can't. Are we good?
Yeah, we're good. Honestly, Peter, thank you again for your time. Fellas, thank you again. I know, Dino, you got a role. Awesome job. Can't wait to have you on again, Peter. Probably a follow-up after the banquet when we have all these requests for your autograph. We'll make sure we get some headshots sent out to people. And
yeah, make sure you have half a pen for all those requests.
Got him.
Say goodnight, Donnie.
Goodnight.
Thanks for listening to Tuesday Talk. New episodes weekly on Tuesdays. For more info, visit myloydminsternow.com or subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.